This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run, our weekly take on all things property related. I'm Roshan Kanesan, and with me in studio is Lynn Mark. Earlier this year, the government decided to lower the threshold for foreign buyers to buy property from 1 million ringgit to 600,000. This was when Budget 2020 was tabled. The government's rationale here was that this would help developers sell their unsold inventories and reinvest the capital in affordable housing. This, of course, has drawn praise and criticism from all sides. So to address this and more, joining us in studio today is Sarkunan Subramaniam, Managing Director at Knight Frank Malaysia, to help clarify this and understand the pros and cons of the government's decision. Welcome to the show, Sarki.
Good morning, Roshan. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning.
Just call me Saki.
All right, Sarki. Let's just start with the first thing. Now, this lowering of the threshold, the big concern here is that it's going to make it more difficult for Malaysians to buy houses. It's going to encourage developers to keep prices higher. What do you think about that?
I tend to disagree with that. I do believe that the lowering of the threshold is only for the unsold existing stock. That was clarified soon after the budget announcement. So I do not believe the sale of this unsold existing stock will affect the existing pricing of new stock, that is a new product that will be launched in the market. So I believe this concern is a bit unfounded.
And so, Sarki, do we actually have any more information other than what was announced previously? Because I understand that the threshold is still going to be determined by the respective states. So what are the levels looking like for KL, Selangor, Penang and Johor, since those are the main markets that foreigners will be looking into?
Yes, exactly right, Lynn. Land is a state matter, and therefore the threshold, price threshold for foreigners is set by the state. What I do understand is since the federal government announced this, FT, which is federal territories, have decided that they will lower the threshold accordingly, according to what budget announcement, starting from next year. Whereas Selangor has not made any announcements as yet, so their threshold remains the same, which is zone 1 and 2 at 2 million, and then the other zone, which is Hulu, Selangor and Sabah Bernam, 1 million as the threshold. Penang, on the other hand, has decided that they will lower their threshold to 800,000 instead. But I think that is very, very correct. It's good that states decide, because prices in Perlis and prices in Kuala Lumpur are two different things altogether. Mm-hmm. So it is a prerogative and the sovereign right of the state to decide on these matters.
Recently, I think the Malaysian Reserve reported that up to 10,000, that analysts are expecting about 10,000 units to be purchased by Hong Kongers. How much data do we have on foreign ownership in this country?
Okay, this is very important for clarity. As far as NAPIC is concerned, when they say only 0.4% of units are sold to foreigners, these are only at the secondary market, because NAPIC measures as a secondary market. On the primary market, which is sales from developers, these figures are not available to NAPIC. So we really do not know how many units are really sold in the primary market to foreigners. So this data needs to be digested by NAPIC and should be made available by the developers to NAPIC so that we can get a more accurate picture on this. Nevertheless, MM2H has recently said that they are receiving nearly 150 applications, predominantly from Hong Kong, per week recently since the riot. And as you know, this is a figure that was reported at one of the news reports that we heard. Whether to verify this as and how much of that is approved is another question altogether.
Do we? So you mentioned that we don't have any specific data from NAPIC, which would ideally have access to a more cohesive version of a more cohesive picture. But do we have any individual data from the developers themselves with regard to foreign buying of their properties?
At the moment, we don't have. REDA hasn't officially reported how many percent of their members' sales go into foreign buying. But one of the things that NAPIC can do is maybe get this data from REDA and make it compulsory for developers to forward this data. How many percent has been actually sold to foreigners?
So now with the lowering of this threshold, do you think that foreigners are going to buy up these properties? Is this actually going to encourage purchases?
I think it will encourage, but I don't think it's going to have a huge effect on the overhang. Because recently we did a study among developers as to what is the main factors which is affecting the unsold or the overhang unit. And the number one reason is affordability and a price mismatch. And the second reason was given to us is and financing. Third, and equally the same, less desirable location and oversupply of units in that area. Fourth was bumi kota, and fifth was product mismatch. So if you look at it, if foreigners come in, a lot of them, if the pricing is not right, I don't think they will be really looking into those sort of areas, you see.
So earlier, Saki, you mentioned the MM2H program, which is the Malaysia My Second Home program. And that started in 2002. And so far, we've had about 40,000 applicants from 130 countries. So the question, I guess, is, in your view, does this program actually work? Does it need review, perhaps, if the government is looking to truly internationalize our property market?
I think this program works. It does work because I do get a lot of estate agents who work on this, and they actually specialize on getting products to MM2H clients. And I think what really needs is for the government to relook at this incentive and work out policies that will enhance MM2H, because we really need to have a more international facet to our property purchases.
Enhance it in what way?
Enhance it in at the end of the day, for instance, we really need to look at the quality of the people that we want here. And how do we maintain that quality? That is very important. No point getting just any foreigner coming in. You know, we need people with capacity to spur the economy. So these are the issues. How do we address this is something that the government needs to look at. And we do not also want people to... MM2H is only when people actually come here to live and to stay. Mm-hmm. What about investors coming in? How are we going to get investors to come in to buy Malaysia real estate so that they can actually get a good return out of it? So this aspect, we got to look at it from an overall big picture point of view rather than just purely trying to sell overhang units.
So from a big picture point of view, what kind of policies? So the government has introduced this one policy here, this foreign ownership thing. But on a big picture scale, what type of policies do you think we need to introduce to truly internationalize our property market?
I think we can try to look at what maybe Thailand does. You know, in Thailand, when a developer has got a block of units to sell, the government will decide, okay, you know, we want to get you can sell these units to the foreigner and these units to the local. So they're clearly specified as to what you can sell to the foreigner. So in that way, there's more clarity as to how much of the development can be purchased by the foreigner. Then you also have a situation like in Australia where you have foreigners are only allowed to buy from developers, you know, and therefore that helps the construction industry, that helps the developers in Australia. And that is good because then they are not competing with the locals in the secondary market. So that is the way that Australia tries to control it.
And we're going to continue this discussion in just a little bit. You're tuned into the Property Show on The Morning Run. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're tuned into the Property Show on the Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasen, and with me in studio is Lynn Mark. Our guest today is Sarkunan Subramaniam, Managing Director of Knight Frank Malaysia. And he's here to discuss foreign ownership of properties in Malaysia and how it affects the housing market. Now, Sarki, when we left off, we were talking about the Australian model of foreign ownership and how it's a lot more restrictive than what we have here in Malaysia, in that foreigners can only buy new developments.
Correct, that's right. That's how Australia sort of controls it. But if you get your PR or you become a citizen, of course, that's another thing altogether. But as far as if you are a foreign resident, you can only buy from developers in Australia.
And there are also restrictions on who you can resell your property to afterwards, right? If you're a foreigner.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, I find this very interesting, right? Because it's, in a way, you're managing, it's a two-pronged thing. One, you're managing the secondary market where most Australians are buying and selling their houses. Yes, you are curtailing the amount of buyers as well. But on the other side, what you're doing is you're encouraging development because foreigners can only buy a new property and Australian property is a very hot commodity today.
Correct, that's right. In fact, the only thing that has dampened that to date is because they raised stamp duty for foreigners recently, only for foreigners. And that's something that we don't do. Our stamp duty for foreigners and for locals are the same. So that's also another mechanism that the government can use to either encourage or discourage foreigners from buying into the market, depending how the situation is. As far as current situation is, when we see so much overhang and developers are not doing all that well, perhaps it is time to encourage foreigners to come in rather than discourage.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So The Australian model is one that a lot of people hold up as a possible example of what we here in Malaysia could do in order to introduce more restrictions to kind of mitigate the potential impact of this recent lowering of the threshold. But do you think that this Australian system would work here in Malaysia?
You could. It could definitely work. It definitely needs a bit of research, and then we can look at whether we want to implement it. But if we find the lowering of this threshold, 600,000, has actually affected, then we can also step up. What do you call the stamp duty? We can make adjustments to stamp duty to control. So these are various mechanisms we can use as far as if there's really a fear of foreigners coming in and locals cannot buy, then these are mechanisms we can use. But currently, I must reiterate that foreigners playing in the local market is not a major reason for prices going up.
So let's talk about prices then, because this is the big argument in Malaysia right now. Property prices are high, people can't buy houses. What do you think we need to do?
Yeah, I must tell you, between 2017 and 2018, the volume of resident transactions actually went up by 1.4%, and housing price index went up by 3%. So we project this to continually go up, but the thing is, the transactions between 2015 and 2016 was a hefty drop. So then it's starting to pick up again. I believe house prices will always go up, because demand for housing is insatiable, you know. So I must say that we have to understand that there is no way that the house price will start to come down. So people need to understand this, you know. And so the fact is, waiting for the price to come down is never going to happen.
So I understand what you're saying, but like any commodity, any asset out there, demand and supply is supposed to be the prevailing law,
correct?
Right? Now, if we have an oversupply issue, that sounds like downward pressure to me.
Correct.
But we're not seeing that reflected in the prices.
You are very right. Only in Johor, we have statistics that house price have come down. Only in Johor, because I do believe because the oversupply situation there is very much higher than all the other states. That's why we've seen trends of pricing in Johor actually trending downwards, whereas in other states, it has always gone up. So it has to take a huge number of oversupply to really correct the way the market reacts, you see.
So is there is there reason to be concerned about the oversupply at this point then?
My personal thoughts is I believe there are overly too much of concern on the oversupply situation. That's my personal belief. I believe we have to relook at what is the real meaning of oversupply, because currently NAPIC says anything that is completed and unsold for 9 months is considered overhang. And then there is oversupply, overhang. There's various different definitions. So we really have to look into how we look at what is oversupply. Statistics of this nature is not very easily available in other countries to compare.
So do you think if you question kind of our definition of an oversupply here in Malaysia, do you think that the government is maybe jumping the gun in introducing some of these measures to try and mitigate it?
I think that the government may have to relook at the data and how it is. But I can seriously say that in a recent survey I did, with developers, 45% of respondents actually said their overhang situation is something like 20% and below. Whereas, in fact, 15% of respondents say all their units are sold out. 10% of respondents said they have 40 to 60% of overhang units.
So just let's jump into that survey a little bit, Sarki. So your developers, are they mostly Selangor or is it the entire country?
This is a sample of developers in Selangor. Mm. So this is what the figures I get. But I believe... The main issue is, it is true we have a situation where we got 34,000 over units which are considered overhang. Crux of it is that these are the developers who have built units in mostly with mostly pricing mismatch between what they should build in the neighborhood to what they have put in the market. So I think this sort of issues is purely borne by the developer themselves. Yeah, these developers, because they didn't do their proper market research, market study, they carry the brunt of it. As far as the government is concerned, that is a loss of tax income for them. So that it does have a bit of an effect. So my opinion is, let the market correct itself, put in policies like this, reducing foreign ownership price limit in order to improve sales and to wipe off this overhang. I don't think we will ever be in a situation where we have near minimalistic overhang situation. So it's how do we encourage the sale of this built but unsold property. But more importantly, I believe we have to look at ensuring developers build products which are priced properly in the right location. And all this is very important, is as long as they pay for their land the correct market mm-hmm. price. If they overpay for their land, and of course they need to price their product much higher, this is the problem, because the land is overpriced. It's not the product is overpriced. The product is overpriced because the land and everything that goes into building the property is overpriced, you see. So we have to go back and look at even land prices, development land prices. Are they over that, so that forcing the developers to build more expensive units, thinking that they can sell it. So right. This is a big question.
So what other kind of policies then would you like to see from the government in order to try and resolve the property overhang that we have here in Malaysia?
I think current policies at hand were requiring banks to ensure that the developer has done a proper market study to ensure that the products can actually are priced correctly and sold correctly should be put in place. And I think it's very important that this policy where banks actually force the developer to do a proper market research is important. But nowadays, I don't know whether the bankers are really taking that very seriously. I know some bankers are, but the key issue is even that sort of market report must be coming out from a reputable reputable property professional, not just playing to the tune of the developer because he wants to build something of that nature.
All right. And on that note, Sarki, do you have, what's your outlook for property into 2020?
I believe prices will continue to go up for residential properties. I believe the transactions will start to improve next year. So we will see slight improvements in a number of transactions for residential, and we will also see price increase continuing on a bit muted, but definitely it will continue to go up. As far as the commercial market, rents will be still under pressure, and we will find effective rents coming down.
All right. And on that note, thank you so much for joining us today, Sarki.
Okay. Thank you, Roshan. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you.
That was Sarkaran Subramaniam, Managing Director at Knight Frank Malaysia. This was The Property Show on BFM 89.9. Up next at the 10 a.m. News Bulletin, and then Enterprise. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Lynn Mark, BFM 89.9.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.